Afro Verdict, brought to you by Sputnik Africa.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the Afro Verdict podcast. Thanks for tuning in. This is your host Victor Anakin, and today we are going to touch on some economic breakthroughs on the continent. So the African Continental Free Trade Area is making waves with its recent tariff reduction on a whole 90% of goods traded between member countries. This ambitious move ahead of schedule marks a complete turning point for intra-African trade and economic integration. For background, the African Continental Free Trade Area was launched in 2018 and was aimed to create a continent-wide free trade zone. Tariff reductions, which took effect in January 2021, were planned over 5 years, but many countries outpaced these expectations. So cut tariffs essentially mean lower prices for consumers across diverse goods, boosted intra-African trade and regional value chains, and potential for job creation, of course, and poverty reduction, as well as increased continental competitiveness. However, as with all great initiatives, the road won't be so silky, with challenges such as issues arising in the smooth implementation across diverse economies, upgrading infrastructure like transportation and logistics, and of course building competitive domestic industries. So the 90% reduction unlocks immense potential for Africa's economic future, but requires addressing implementation challenges and fostering industrial development, of course. So to analyze in detail what this tariff reduction will mean for the population, for small and medium enterprises, and for the economies of member states, we are joined by Sylvester Kwesi Dadzi, economic and financial analyst and consultant, who's also a researcher. All right, Mr. Sylvester Dadzi, welcome to the Afro Verdict podcast, and thank you for joining me. So how about a short introduction for all our listeners, since this is your first time on the podcast?
Okay, I'm Sylvester Kwesi Dadzi. I mostly work as a development consultant with Sigrid Consults, and I'm also a researcher. I have a couple of works I do, area of research, sometimes independent, sometimes collaborate with people, and some number of freelance works. And my expertise is in the area of development financing, economic policy analysis, financial investment analysis, basically around that circle. And when it comes to research, to some extent, in econometrics.
All right, well, it's my absolute pleasure to meet you and to have you on our podcast, like I said. Well, let's get to the topic straight away. How will this tariff reduction, right, almost elimination, benefit the continent's economy?
Africa Continental Free Trade Area, actually emanated from the one of the 7 or 6 cardinal points of the African Union. So the first major thing for towards integration is the Africa Continental Free Trade Area. And what first benefits with tariffs liberation is increasing trade. Because if the continent, countries on the continent are trading among themselves and tariffs reduction on 90% of goods and services, from pharmaceutical to manufacturing products and all that, trust me, trade is going to boost among countries on the continent. And with that, if there is boost in trading, it will also lead to economic growth, because there will be more production and job creation, transfer of technology and all that. And if you have increase in economic growth, it will also lead to what is called efficiency gains, because the local industries in the countries on the continent will be much more competitive, because they will be able to produce at a cheaper cost to export to their neighboring countries and even to the global market as well. So the benefits are many. There are a number of them. I don't think time will allow us. You can also talk about the issue of consumer benefits, regional integration, because with the issue of regional integration, for instance, ECOWAS has a principle of free trade among member countries. So if you produce in, let's say, Burkina Faso, Ghana, and the neighboring countries within the ECOWAS sub-region, so apply in the SADC, which is the Southern Africa Development Community, then you have the East Africa block. So if it's for the entire African continent, then the integration will be much more stronger, leading to towards unification of the African continent as a, to become as a country. You can also talk about attracting investment because if tariffs are on the lower side, most companies in the global north will be willing to come and set up their branches, as it were, or their subsidiaries on the continent to produce and to sort of adapt to the what we call the volumes of trade, which have already illustrated some of the benefits. And also the economies on the continent will have will be able to diversify the economies to be able to stand external shocks, because in recent years, we experienced COVID, which was a shock, sometimes financial crisis and all that. And because most of the economic, most of the countries on the continent are not well diversified, they are hard hit. But the likes of South Africa and a few who have been able to diversify the economy to some extent, you realize the magnitude of some of these external shocks are not like those that depends on only few commodities and services. But I must say this, however, those tariff reduction should be done with complementary policies, such as investment in infrastructure, education, healthcare, and as well as measures to address potential negative negative impact on vulnerable sectors or works. Then also, to add, trade liberation also depend on effective implementation, because if the implementation is not effective and enforced, trust me, the agreement may be on paper, but it will not be done. And there are instances like that where they will tell you within the sub-region, you can travel anywhere with our passports, you can travel somewhere with your national ID, but when you get to the borders, there are challenges.
Okay. Look, you mentioned investing into infrastructure, right? How viable is the prospect of transforming the financial market infrastructure in Africa and switching to cross-border payments in local currencies? Now, I know we're talking about different infrastructure here, but perhaps you can talk a bit about, you know, swapping over to payments in local currencies and so on and so forth.
Currently, for instance, ECOWAS, Economic Community of West African States, and we have the Community of East Africa or East Africa Community are trying to do that, but it's on paper. You see, currently it's not viable. It's not possible that you send goods to from, let's say, South Africa to Zimbabwe, and you are paying Zimbabwe dollar, excuse me, unless you are paid in the US dollars. So we are getting there. And with regard to this question, there are costs, there are benefits, potential benefits, and challenges. Some of the potential benefits, if they're able to, the union is able to carry it out for AFTA members to trade in local currency, you can talk about cost reduction in the sense that the issue of exchange rate fluctuations or volatility is a major challenge on the continent, because the most of the currencies on the continent are pegged on the dollar. So you realize that when, let's say, South Africa send goods to, for instance, Namibia, most often than not, the payment is done in what? The USD. And it's all over the place. So if they're able to achieve this, one of the key benefits, like I said, is cost reduction, because you don't have to think about exchange rate conversion and volatility. That is one, and that will also lead to increased efficiency. Increased efficiency in the sense that debt settlement in local currencies can, as it were, streamline payment processes. reducing time and complexity involved in cross-border transactions. It can also lead to promotion of intra-African trade in the sense that if I will be paid in the local currency, I wouldn't have to bother myself looking into how to deal with the risks of foreign currencies, its effect, the risks of foreign exchange and all that. So it will encourage promotion of intra-African trade among member countries. But the challenges here, one of the challenges is infrastructure development. Do we have the systems? Do we have necessary payment systems, clearing mechanisms, regulatory frameworks that will, as it were, help in carrying out some of these transactions in local currencies on the continent? That is the difficulty that I think exists already. Other than that, I think by now they should have carried it out, because the idea of Agenda 2060, which is regional integration, under which this Africa Continental Free Trade came from, because they think it will help in the integration. By now, we should have had that. But the issue of investment infrastructure is a concern. Regulatory harmonization is also an issue. They are yet to have a harmonized regulatory framework on the continent for all member states of AFTA. And the issue of market fragmentation can also be a problem. But in summary, in the long run, they can make it happen. But to summarize everything, one thing they should take note of is they need to address all the various challenges and undertaking coordinated effort among stakeholders. With sustained commitment, I think they can make significant inroads when it comes to integration and development across the continent to achieve the payment system across borders in local currencies on the continent. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Look, I want to talk a bit about the economic policy across the African continent. Given that Africa's current population is around 1.2 billion and it is expected to grow to 2.5 billion by 2050, that's in 26 years from now, it's really not that much. And the African Continental Free Trade Area is the largest free trade area since the creation of the World Trade Organization. How will these economic policies, do you think, help in unifying the African continent, considering that it is so diverse?
You see, does African Continental Free Trade Area actually is to help integrate member countries on the continent, in the sense that when trade is facilitated among member countries, over time, member countries, the economies of the member countries will become interdependent. And obviously will strengthen ties between countries and contribute to their unity and shared prosperity. Also, it will foster regional cooperation. As like the example I started in the case of ECOWAS, the East Africa Bloc, the SADC Bloc, the Central African Bloc, you know, through negotiation and implementation of trade agreements, you can have, as it were, countries to incentivize or motivate to work together towards common economic goals, leading to greater solidarity and unity across regions. It will also create opportunities for economic growth for member countries, obviously. So if your country is growing, your economic growth levels are increasing, the trend is always upward sloping, obviously, you'll be committed, because the standard of living of your people is being increased through job creation, stimulation of investments and innovation, and economic opportunities for citizens throughout the continent will increase. So obviously, that is also one of the points that I can talk about. And it will also address the issue of fragmentation, because you have the opportunity to, as it were, have harmonized trade rules and regulations by overcoming barriers to trade and harmonizing policies to promote integrated and cohesive economic African or economic ties among member states. Then you can have global competitiveness. As they trade among themselves and the cost of production goes down because of tariff reduction or tariff liberalization, what it means is that they'll be able to compete with the global north and the global west. So because of a non-reduced cost of production, which in the essence, because they are interdependent, will sort of increase the ties among countries, corporations among countries through various frameworks and regulations.
Yeah, you know, you got me thinking, and I just want to get your opinion on a bit more of a social issue, right? How do you think the step forward will affect food security and healthcare in Africa?
Okay, thank you for the question. Removing tariffs on goods and services, 90% of goods and services, what it will bring is you have a lot of the populace, citizenry on the continent or of member countries having access to lower cost of food and healthcare. Why do I say so? If tariffs are reduced, manufacturers or producers will produce at a reduced cost. And in so doing, transporting them to the rest of the continent will also come at a reduced cost. So it's in a way the food security aspect and the healthcare aspect will be improved. You know, when there's a shock, it wouldn't affect member countries that very much, since they will have access to range of products and healthcare services and products at a reduced what cost. Something like, for instance, food, medicine, essential medicine, health equipment, improve access to, let's say, nutritious food. All these things, the cost will come down, because we shouldn't forget the cost of tariff also matters when it comes to determination of cost of a particular product. You can also talk about stimulating agriculture and healthcare. They will also be stimulated because they will be able to produce more. Because currently, the cost at which they are producing, if the tariffs are reduced, that means they will have more. The amount that they were supposed to sort of, as it were, pay for tariffs will all be channeled in acquisition of raw materials and hiring of labor and maybe utilities to produce more. So there are more reasons to that. You can talk about promoting regional specialization, facilitating trade in agriculture input and medical supplies and all that. There are a lot of them. So in essence, it will put the member countries in a very good position when it comes to healthcare and food security, as it will increase access to essential goods and services, stimulating production, innovation, promoting regional integration, and as it were, collaboration.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Dadzi, I want to ask you, as a professional economic consultant, right? What is your projection? I hope you won't charge me. What is your projection for the business environment in across the continent of Africa?
Put figures to it, as putting figures to it for now will be difficult. But then, all that I would say, if it's able to carry it out, it will have a positive impact on the total GDP of the continent and as well as member countries. But that cannot be achieved unless certain factors are also addressed. And those factors are, you can talk about economic stability. You have to consider economic stability. You can talk about technological advancement and the global dynamics as well. These factors need to be looked at. So if we talk about projections, you can Obviously, it will bring continuing economic growth. Consumer market will also increase. You can have a digital transformation. It's also one of the reasons that you can have. Then you can talk about infrastructure development, regional integration. All these reasons, sustainable development, all these reasons cannot be achieved, including global geostrategic dynamics. But all these things cannot be achieved without dealing with the challenges of political instability, regulatory complexity, corruption, which is a major problem on the continent, security risk, especially in the area of governance or politics. Whenever there's election, coup d'etat, violence after election or before elections or during elections, if all these factors are not addressed holistically, infrastructure gaps, they are not addressed holistically, there will be issues. They cannot achieve the purpose of having consistent sustainable development, consistent economic growth that will, so as it were, transform the livelihood of the citizenry on the continent.
Okay, thanks for that. Really appreciate it. You know, I really like when professionals share their knowledge with people, you know, so people can get a professional view on what is going on and how certain policy changes will affect their daily lives. Let's get back to the tariff concessions. What benefits and difficulties may now arise from this change in policy, in particular in relation to small and medium enterprises?
Okay. With small and medium enterprises, in fact, now we even go to the extent of saying micro enterprises as well, because if it is well carried out and the challenges associated with it is addressed, it will affect every individual on the continent. So even the micro businesses may be affected. One of the first reasons that one will talk about is market accessibility. Because if you can produce in Lesotho and as a small business enterprise, and you can take it to South Africa freely without barrier, without higher tariffs, obviously, then you have a larger market than just Lesotho, because we know, for instance, the population of Namibia is around 2 million. The population of Lesotho is also almost around that figure. So then around 2 million, the market size is not that large. But if you were able to send goods to South Africa, you are sending goods to Swaziland or Eswatini, or maybe Malawi, Mozambique, then it means you are expanding your market base, right? So the first one is the market accessibility. You can also talk about cost saving. Because tariffs have reduced, it will save you the cost of production, obviously. Then you talk about the issue of business expansion, expansion of business opportunities. This is because if, for instance, a business is into a production of one particular product, because there's reduction in tariffs, the business can also venture into other areas of production, which in the end will increase its size and lead to job creation and all that economic growth to the larger sense. It will also bring a competitive advantage because, for instance, if you are in cocoa producing country like Ghana, Cote d'Ivoire, those places, because you grow cocoa, you can produce cocoa-related products like chocolate, cocoa beverages like Milo and stuff like that, and be able to send to other countries which do not have the competitive edge in the production of such products. Then you can also talk about resilience. Yeah, because you can diversify. The business can invest in several range of products. So even when there is a crisis that affects one product, the others will do well. So the entire investment does not go down the drain. then though there are challenges, because as we speak, competition is an issue. You have compliance and regulatory framework, you have logistical challenges and all that currently. But with time, we'll surely be able to get there. And the issue of capacity is also an issue, because most businesses do not have the capacity. They do not have the know-how. So they need to look at all these things, how to help businesses, small-scale businesses, to be able to deal with these issues before, to be able to take advantage of the various framework and regulations that AFTA seems to provide as an advantage.
Right, exactly. No, definitely. These tariff reductions, if implemented correctly, they'll play such a huge role, and they really have the capacity to further lift the African continent. So look, my last question, and it sort of relates to the population one. Africa has the largest youth population on the planet, right? So in your opinion, to what extent will this policy help to boost the creation of new startup businesses and so on and so forth, and specifically empower the youth to develop their own businesses? Yeah, I mean, since you already mentioned a bit about market accessibility, but what can young people expect from these new economic policies?
Okay, by lowering, one of the things is barriers. If through AFTA, barriers of entries or to entry is reduced. Let's say if you are moving goods from South Africa to Botswana and the barriers and tariffs are lowered, it creates a conducive environment for entrepreneurship. Startups and new businesses will face fewer obstacles when assessing inputs, sourcing for materials and reaching out to customers across borders, making it easier to establish businesses and certain scale of ventures. So basically, reduced tariffs will obviously create that conducive environment for entrepreneurship. Then the market accessibility is one of them, of which I've already explained. It will also create or stimulate innovation, because if there is a sort of lower tariffs and reduced barriers, it's easier to reach out to other businesses that are going on to study what they are doing, and be able to, out of that, come out with something new to, as it were, create a new venture entirely out of it. So by saying that, you have increased competition and market opportunities resulting from tariffs concession, can stimulate innovation and entrepreneurship. So you need to, as it were, It will give opportunities to youngsters, because there are no barriers. It will, for them to be able to be innovative and come up with their new businesses. Already new business, existing businesses will be able to know how others are operating elsewhere, because there will be that free movement, and the market gaps and market trends will be addressed through that. The issue of competition can easily be handled. Then you can talk about cross-border collaboration as well. Businesses in Lesotho can collaborate with those in South Africa to start up a new business. You can talk about access to resources and support as well. If Standard Bank in South Africa can help businesses in Lesotho, because they know maybe the business is in Lesotho, all right, but they are starting up a new business in South Africa. I think Standard Bank, Absa, and all that will help, because maybe they have track records in a different country. Then you have access to resources, youth, access to youth empowerment and job creation. It will empower the youth psychologically, and it will also create jobs for the youth.
All right. Well, Mr. Dadzi, thank you so much for joining me on the AfroVerdict podcast today and sharing all this insight with our audience. I'm sure that those of you that have businesses, don't let this advice go to waste, man. There's nothing more valuable than knowledge. So thanks a lot for this takeaway.
Yeah, let me state this. In totality, that is overall, that policy of tariff concession, particularly this through AFTA, has the potential to create entrepreneurship, like I've mentioned, foster job creation, and empower young people to develop their ventures in Africa. True, no doubt. But if the enabling environment for startups and businesses to thrive, tariff concession, instead of, as it were, contribute to economic growth, job creation, all those things, wouldn't work unless the gaps and the challenges that exist, such as political instability, infrastructure gaps, and all that addressed, they may be reduced, but they will not yield the necessary benefits that is expected.
Well, there you have it, folks. We've dived deep into the AfCFTA's tariff reduction with Mr. Sylvester Dadzi. And it's clear that this is a game changer for Africa's economic landscape. From the exciting possibilities for businesses and consumers to the potential challenges that need addressing, this conversation has painted a nuanced and detailed picture of the African Continental Free Trade Area's impact. But remember, the story doesn't end here. The AfCFTA's success hinges specifically on action. We need governments, businesses, and individuals to actively participate, invest in infrastructure, and embrace the opportunities this free trade area presents. So if you do have a small business or startup, make sure to take advantage of this initiative. To backtrack on other episodes, check AfroVerdict out on other podcasting platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Deezer, Pocket Casts, AfriPod, Castbox, and Podcast Addict. AfroVerdict, that's AfroVerdict. To stay on top of news on the continent and around the globe, make sure to follow Sputnik Africa on Telegram and other socials. That's that for today's episode, everyone. This is your host, Victor Anakin, signing off, and I'll see you next time.
AfroVerdict, brought to you by Sputnik Africa.